Welcome to the Kingdom Sports Podcast, where we ask the question, which kingdom will you choose, man's kingdom or God's kingdom? And now, here are your hosts, Chad Bonham and Coach Ron Brown.
Welcome to another edition of the Kingdom Sports Podcast. I'm your co-host, Chad Bonham, and I'm joined by Coach Ron Brown. How you doing, Coach?
Doing great, Chad.
Well, today we have a very special guest with us, Brian McKenzie, who is the FCA Director of Football for the Midwest Region. Brian, thanks for being with us today.
It's good to be with you guys.
You know, Brian, you are a guy that, you know, you look over your profile here, you've covered the gamut pretty much in the world of sports. You've been a player. You played at the University of Kentucky football. You transferred to Georgetown College and finished up your career there. You were a part of the Atlanta Falcons football team for a bit. Then you got into coaching, Georgetown College. You were a Christian high school coach in Texas. You were a 7-on-7 coach. You moved into the sports ministry world. You were on FCA staff. You were a pastor for 13 years. You're back into sports ministry. Presently, you're FCA's only director of football in the whole nation. So there's no question that you've kind of covered the gamut in sports. You're one of those guys that probably, when someone is asked, where was Brian McKenzie born? Someone would say somewhere between the 35 and the 40-yard line.
Yeah, exactly right. Was a defensive guy. I'd like to back it up, make sure it's on the opponent's, you know, 25 or 30 yards. Yeah. Yeah.
Brian, welcome to the show, and you know, just wanted to ask you why have you stayed in sports so long? Usually, a guy who's played at your level, college football, shot in the NFL, played in the NFL a little bit, kind of retires and does other things, business, etc. You got right back into sports, but in a different way. Obviously, Christ-centered ministry opportunities. Tell us a little bit about those decisions.
Yeah, well, Ron, I'd say the biggest reason is because of the impact that coaches had on my life. I was so blessed to have Christian coaches. My very first football coach was a deacon at our church. Nobody in our family had ever played football, and he invited me to come and paint his little league football team. And he loved Jesus, and he wanted me to play football. And that's how I got started, just the influence of a man in our church who became a coach, who loved the Lord, made it a part of, you know, of our practices. When I was in Pee Wee Football League, it was a public league, and he's talking about Jesus to the kids, and that impacted me. I had when I continued to go through junior football league, I had Christian coaches. And it wasn't just about football for them. It was about the relationship with the Lord. Did they coach in a way that we would say always was in a Christian manner? Probably not, because they were coaching like they were coached. Then I was blessed with high school coaches that knew the Lord. College, there was always a coach that knew the Lord and was standing up for him. So just the influence of coaches in my life. I mean, I still keep in contact with my high school football coach. We talk at least once a month. And that just shows the impact. Same with my college. A couple of my college coaches still are involved in talking to them, and just an ongoing relationship. So that impacted me as a student athlete. So, and then impacted me in my walk with Christ. As I walk with some of these guys, really walk with Jesus, and they made it a point to make it a part of everything they did. And I said, I want to help coaches do that. I want more coaches to be able to do that. I've got six kids, right? So I want my six kids to be able to have benefit from coaches like that. So I've stayed in it just because of the influence of coaches.
We were talking before we started recording this podcast, and you mentioned that you had been influenced by a book that is a big part of what we're doing with Kingdom Sports, and that's the Handbook on Athletic Perfection. Talk about how you were introduced to that book and the impact it's made in your life back as an athlete and now as a coach.
Yeah, as a college athlete, Steele Harmon, who was a state director in Kentucky for a long time for Fellowship Christian Athletes, he gave me the book. And just kind of handed it to me, you know, just out there, no explanation. And I read through it. I was interested in it. And I think back, well, I really wish I had somebody to kind of guide me through it a little bit more and to walk me through it. But I read the whole thing. Now, the application of that probably came slowly just because I didn't have anybody to bounce it off of. What does this mean? How do I do this? But, man, it impacted me. It really helped me change my focus. You know, what does it mean to win? What is success? What is my motivation? All those things challenged me as a college athlete to play differently, and so that really impacted me as a student athlete, and man, what a great resource for coaches to be able to use with their student athletes and be intentional in using it.
Mm. You know, Brian, when I hear that, when I hear your story, you mentioned, you know, my coaches in back in yesteryear, they spoke to me about Jesus. They talked about Jesus with us openly. You were obvious. It was obvious in your life that when you think of your coaches, you think about Jesus Christ. Mm. And that's exactly what's supposed to happen. I don't care what profession we're in.
Yeah.
When you talk to a mentor, if you're really living it out for Christ as a coach or as a mentor or as a discipler or as a pastor or a mom or a dad, when someone thinks of you, their first thought ought to be Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And that impacted you. And, you know, I'm reminded, Brian, so you're a young man, a youngster listening to this, the Deuteronomy 6 thing really affected you. Deuteronomy 6 reminds our parents, or it specifically talks about dads and grandsons in that portion of the scripture, but it says, hey, as they rise and as they go to bed, as mm-hmm. they walk, as they sit, remind them of how we were brought out of slavery in Egypt into the promised land of Israel. And I think for us today, Brian, it's remind them of the gospel. Remind us how we've been redeemed from this world into the kingdom of Jesus Christ. Your coaches were constantly reminding you of that unabashed, and that has helped change your life. So talk to us a little bit about your approach in FCA now as the Midwest region's FCA football coach. How are you inspiring coaches to filter that message out, same way it was filtered out to you?
Right. When you think about the Midwest region, which is Illinois, Iowa, Missouri, Nebraska, Kansas, in those states alone, high school and college, not even including junior high school and college football coaches, there's over 13,000 football coaches ministering to 135,000 football athletes just in those five states. Incredible potential for influence. And because of the way it was impacted me, I thought, man, if we can help some of these coaches truly be able to disciple their athletes, introduce them to Christ, what kind of impact could we have? So I was really, that was one of the biggest callings when I was offered this position. Actually, I was offered the position about 6 years ago. I turned it down for 2 years straight, and then the Lord just kept coming after me, and Tim Johnson kept coming after me, and the Lord called me to it. Some different things were happening as I was already ministering to football coaches as a pastor in our local area. I also had different college coaches, just because of past relationships, begin to call me in a six-month period, asking me about questions. I had a coach call me who'd just gotten fired and was disappointed about basically how he had used his time as a coach. He'd Division I coach for years and years and years, and said, man, I want to do it differently. God gets me back in coaching, I want to do it differently, but I've never been shown how to do it. I've never seen it modeled. So hearing all this, I said, I want to help coaches learn to coach in a way that honors God, introduces their students to Christ in an evangelistic way, first of all, and then helps those students that are the 2 Timothy 2:2 guys who are faithful, that want to go on, help them to be able to not only live out the relationship with Christ on a field or on a court, but to do it every day. And so some of the things we're doing, I produce some materials that go out to who knows how many coaches. A football coach's devotion every Monday morning goes out, just working through scripture, helping them see how it applies to them as a coach. We do these clinics, Ron, which you've spoken at a couple for me, where we do some first dimension stuff as 3D model, but we do first dimension football stuff. And then we have most of it's really centered around how these coaches can coach in a way that honors the Lord Jesus Christ, to use their platform for good, not just say, hey, I'm a Christian and that's it, and like we've talked about compartmentalizing, hey, I'm a Christian, but boy, the way they're coaching doesn't connect with their profession of faith in Jesus Christ. And I think a lot of that is not because they don't want to, they don't know how. So we want to come alongside them, begin to teach them, how do you take your relationship with Jesus Christ, be intentional with it as a coach on the field with your athletes. So we're doing multiple things to do that with our with coaches in the Midwest region.
We'll be right back with more from the Kingdom Sports Podcast right after this.
Athletes, are you feeling the pressure to succeed in today's performance-driven world? Then check out the Discipleship Edition of the Handbook on Athletic Perfection. Learn from sports ministry expert Wes Neal as he introduces biblical principles into athletics and shows you how to have the right attitude and behavior in competition. You'll learn how to change your thinking and what it means to do sports God's way. To pick up your copy and watch supplemental videos from Coach Ron Brown, visit kingdomsports.online.
Discipleship is something that's really not done enough in the church in general, and it's something that's even, you know, probably even more challenging for coaches. It seems like it's maybe something that might overwhelm a coach. What is your encouragement to coaches? Is it to your Christian coaches? Is it to do peer-to-peer discipleship? Is it coach-to-athlete discipleship? And how do you encourage them to overcome some of the natural barriers within our flesh that usually comes up against the idea of discipling, which can be an overwhelming concept, a lot of times people don't feel equipped or empowered to do so.
Right. Well, the answer to the first couple questions, is it coach to coach or coach to athlete? The answer for both of those is yes. It's both, right? It's both of those things. And because the coach also has, especially their head coach, has an influence on their peers. And there's a certain relationships that go on in the coaching fraternity. You need to go to the AFCA convention, and there's coaches all over the place. And there's an immediate bond because of this thing you share in coaching and the work that you put in, the things that you know. So utilizing that influence and relationships with coaches is huge. To your athletes, all your athletes look up to you. I mean, one of the things, the phrase in still in the United States, it still has some weight. It's not the teacher says, or the police officer says, or the mayor says, and kids jump. But if we hear this, coach says, they still jump. It's still there today. We haven't lost that. Although we've lost a lot of respect for authority, it hasn't happened in the coaching profession, especially football coaching, that I've seen. There's still respect there. So this whole idea of discipleship, I think a lot of coaches, they haven't been trained. No one's really discipled them. So they see this like as a program instead of a relationship. I think we can make discipleship so difficult and so hard that nobody can do it. Nobody's qualified to do it. And so just being able to take a young man on your team or a coach on your team and say, hey, I'm going to teach you the things that help me walk with Jesus. And just begin to sit down with them and walk through the basics of the Christian faith. One of the things that I see a lot of is we too often take for granted that coaches, maybe they've been Christian for 20 years, or even athletes have been Christian for 10 years, that they understand certain things. And you begin to talk to them, and they don't. They don't know how to read their Bible. They don't know how to have a quiet time. They don't know how to pray. They don't know how to memorize Scripture. They don't know how to love their coach may not know how to love their wife like Christ loved the church, because we've just assumed that they did, because we do. But somebody set us down, and they began to teach us. So just trying to help a coach see, it's about a relationship. You build a relationship with a guy, and you invest everything you know and everything that you are into that young man or that fellow coach, that's discipleship. And there's so many great resources out there that they could just work through. I mean, obviously, the Handbook Athletic Profession is a great thing to use, but there's so many great resources nowadays. They can just take it and just sit down with their athlete once a week or their fellow coach and just work through it. That's discipleship. And then involve them in their life. Invite them over to be part of their family. You go on a trip to speak, take one of your athletes with you. Whatever it is, just invite them into your life.
You know, Brian, those are great points, and I think one of the problems that I've seen, and you and I have both been in coaching for a number of years, is that it you can really get so double-minded. The Bible says in Romans 8:13, you've got to put to death the deeds of the flesh. Mm-hmm. There is an active, proactive, intentional, spirit-led getting rid of the flesh in your life. Mm. Now it's a work done by the Holy Spirit. It's not self-effort. Don't hear me saying that.
Right.
But what I'm saying is, when a conscious thought comes into your mind, hey, I got a chance to move ahead and be a big time coach, and you know what? That's got to be God's will. Well, the flesh should say, you better check that out with God first. Mm. You better go into prayer. You better be studying. You better take it to some counsel, some brothers. And stop chasing the world's definition of success. Well, those are the kinds of things that somehow we just kind of give each other a green card on in the world of coaching. Even when we're Christians, we go, well, a promotion is obviously from God. Well, that's not necessarily true. Or winning is really the most important thing, and then God, you know, that shows God's favor. No, that's not biblical at all. So, Brian, what do you do? I mean, I love you. I get your text, by the way, every week. Reminding me of the scripture, and you also tell us, hey, I've been praying for you, as you summarize that scripture, I've been praying for this particular aspect in your life, and I appreciate that. But what do you do to help inspire coaches And what would your suggestion be to help inspire coaches to put to death the deeds of the flesh and embrace kingdom principles only in their world of sport?
One of the biggest things, Ron, I've heard you talk about this a lot, the foundation is them understanding the Word of God. It's a transformed mind, because right now most of their mind is that they still see success and, hey, the promotion, that's got to be from God, all those things you said. I always tell people, hey, sometimes people, they think about the will of God. Hey, if there's open doors, that must be from God. And I tell them, hey, sometimes open doors lead to elevator shafts. All right, they're not God's will, and yet they live like that. But it's really a transformed mind about getting in the Word of God, and all of a sudden they begin to see what is the definition of success. And sometimes just because of a relationship, you just got to call them out. Coach, are you chasing this promotion or your team winning the national championship or the state championship, whatever it might be, for your fame or for the glory of God? And having an honest conversation to really get to the heart of things. And many of them will be honest, said, well, yeah, it's just a win. Isn't that what it's supposed to be? Because nobody's told them they need to put the deeds of the flesh, which are success in the world's eyes, and do whatever it takes to get the promotion or the raise or the win the next game or whatever. You've seen this too, Ron. Coaches use players for their promotion. The kid's obviously hurt. He's got an injury. They play him in the game anyway, and then the kid can't play the rest of his career. And they've really used the kid. And although they love Jesus, they just haven't transferred it over here. So my suggestion is about relationships. So the relationships I have with coaches, the relationships you have with coaches, other coaches who or FCA staff or sports ministry staff or pastors who have coaches in their body, they don't need to give them a pass card, don't be involved in the church. They need to be able to build a relationship and help them understand what God's given them and what success is. And if they see something in their life, they need to lovingly be able to rebuke them, as the scripture says, hey, this is not what God would have for you. And I think when coaches begin to grow in that, it's like all of us, as we grow in our love for Jesus, we know him more, we love him more, we know him more, we love him more, they begin to see, you know, fulfillment is really found in knowing Jesus. It's found in eternal life.
That's really interesting. I had never thought about that, because the conflict for a coach, a Christian coach, could be, I have a relationship with this kid, I'm trying to mentor him, disciple him, and yet I also need him to play at his best, and there could be a little bit of a conflict of interest there, right? I mean, how does a coach overcome not looking like I'm just trying to get something out of this kid because it makes my career better, versus I really care about this kid because he's a soul?
Right. Well, it takes time, because they've been programmed by the world on how to treat their athletes, and even if they know the Lord and even have a discipleship relationship, sometimes it just doesn't transfer to the field. And I believe that if a kid is truly seeking the Lord and following him, and his motivation changes, his understanding of success changes, his performance on the field goes like this. It goes way up. And you just got to let the kid go. It's kind of like Spurgeon said it with scripture. I mean, just, you know, uncage it and just let it go and do its work. And when you take a young man who really begins to understand who he is in Christ, understands his identity, understands what it means to compete biblically, then you put him on the field. Their performance level, at least getting the most out of their potential, is going to be way higher. And I've seen that time after time. It was in my own life. I think about Reggie White. And probably the best defensive lineman ever to play the game of football. And when he went with the Eagles, Buddy Ryan, and most people he would tell you this himself when he was alive, that he wasn't a Christian, wasn't a follower of Christ, he didn't profess Christ. He's a pretty angry man most of the time. But somebody said, hey, what's it like coaching Reggie White? You know, he's a Christian. He really loves the Lord. He's always talking about Jesus. And Buddy Ryan says, hey, if being a Christian is what Reggie White is, I wish all my guys were like Reggie White. And people say, well, yeah, he was one of the best defensive linemen ever. And he said, well, no, here's why. It's because he outworks everybody, he's coachable, and he's a team player. That's what he said about Reggie White. That was what he saw in what a Christian was in a player. And you talk about performance. I mean, nobody was probably better at the defensive end. And I think that was directly, a correlation with his relationship with Jesus Christ. And he wasn't necessarily always playing for the roar of the crowd, but was playing to glorify God in his actions. So I think that's huge, and they go together. A coach doesn't have to separate that. Just pour into the kid, then let's let that Christian kid loose and see what happens.
We'll be right back with more from the Kingdom Sports Podcast right after this.
Coaches, if you're serious about leading your athletes for God's glory, then check out Philippians, The Christ Pursuing Coach by Ryan Limbaugh. This Bible study and workbook is a guided tour through the Apostle Paul's letter to the Philippians and will help coaches apply the Word of God to every detail of team leadership. To pick up your copy and watch supplemental videos from Coach Ron Brown, visit kingdomsports.online.
You know, Brian, you use the term coach says, and that's it's a growing concept, you know, that it's been around a lot, but we use that term more and more as I listen to it, and I think it's true. So what the coach says he doesn't just say it. It comes out of his belief system. It comes out of his mind. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 that we have the mind of Christ. And who's he talking about? We Christians. If you're a Christ-following coach, you have the mind of Christ. So what you say should reflect what Jesus says, what the Word of God says. And I think, Brian, one of the problems is that we're not clear enough, and I'm raising my hand first, we're not always clear about what the gospel is not or what the objective is not. We have been told in today's culture, don't speak about what we're against, only speak up for what we're for. But it's nebulous. The teaching is not always clear. There are people out there who are saying things that aren't consistent with the Word of God, and that they're posing as Christians, or they're saying they may be misinformed sincerely, or they may just be deceivers. My point is, how does that coach gain the courage to be able to say, men, on our football team, it is absolutely inexcusable that we are going to be lazy. And have that come as the higher authority. They're not always things that we term as spiritual. Don't commit adultery, don't swear, don't do this. Some of it is, don't be lazy. Don't be proud. Don't be proud. I don't want to see you celebrating in the end zone by yourself. We have to address those things, it seems, Brian. And then give credit to why we do what we do. It isn't just because Coach says. It is because Coach says because someone else says.
Yeah,
the Lord God says. The final authority.
Right. You know, I've developed this interesting, you talk about that, and that's so important. I've developed a curriculum that's a character trait curriculum that coaches can use, and we've got coaches using it. And the whole purpose is to bring up what is selflessness, what is courage, what is hard work, and there's biblical passages that go with it. They introduce the word, they define it, they illustrate it. Usually there'll be a video with some football thing with it. They illustrate it by scripture, and the whole purpose of that is twofold: for the coach to be able to gain the avenue, begin to talk about spiritual things and get to their heart. Second of all, to expose their heart. Just like the purpose of the law is to show us our sin and need for a Savior, when you begin to talk about selflessness and you're really looking in, you begin to realize, "Whoa, I'm not selfless." And I've had a coach tell me when he started doing this, I've had coach kids coming to me after we did it for a few weeks saying, "Coach, I'm not selfless. I'm not courageous. Coach, I'm having a hard time putting others before myself. I'm having a hard time being faithful. Can you help me?" That's exactly what the purpose of it is for, is to show that kid his heart that it doesn't meet God's standard. So he can see his need for a Savior, and the coach can introduce him to Jesus.
Yeah, and you know, Brian, I love that what you said there about exposing a kid for who they are. Ephesians 5:11 says, "Do not participate in the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them." And I really think the mission of the Christian coach, we get the opportunity as Christian coaches to expose fear. Let's say we're football coaches out on that football field. Put them through drills that reveal their fear. Put them through drills that reveal their pride or their laziness so that they can see it. And then without having to embarrass them and all that kind of stuff, but we can gently admonish that and say, "Look, men, these are not the attributes that are going to allow you to use all the talent that God has given you. And this does not come from God himself. This is self-driven, and it will lead to destruction." I just, that's what I love about sports, Brian, because we get an opportunity, even now with all the middle school types of sporting activities out there and so forth, if mom and dad didn't look at it just as, "Oh, we got to drive little Johnny over to soccer practice over here, and then we got to take Susie over here," but look at it as an opportunity as a Christian parent to say, "My children get a chance to see their need for Jesus Christ, so that what sports is going to reveal today." It's going to reveal some ups and downs, and they're going to, you know, they have an opportunity to say, son, daughter, let's talk about this. Let's see what the Bible has to say about your reaction on the field today, et cetera.
Yeah. For so long, you even use the word reveals. So long and growing up when we were playing sports, what did it say? People would say sports builds character. Mm-hmm. And I always said, no, sports reveals character. And we have this great opportunity, especially in the game of football, because of the nature of the game. I mean, character shows up probably greater than any other sport because of the high intensity, the physicality of the game. You see all this come out, and when it reveals it, then you have an opportunity, like you said, to come alongside and say, hey, why is this? What's in your heart? What's in the throne of your heart? What are you thinking about when you're doing this, when you're displaying this selflessness or this pride, and didn't bring the gospel?
And what's revealed, Brian, isn't just a mistake. Mm-hmm. It's sin. And yeah. That's the only thing that's going to lead us to Jesus. Yeah. We have to recognize that we have sin. Yeah. That's our need for Jesus Christ. Yeah. And that's the only salvation we have from our sin.
Amen.
You know, it's easy to speak kind of negatively about the lack of discipleship, mm-hmm. right? You know, you see that we need more of it. But let's speak positively about what you're seeing. And are you hopeful about what you're seeing through just the Midwest region and beyond, that there is a remnant of coaches and sports leaders who are out there really trying to get into the Word and to be able then to turn around and share what they're learning with their fellow coaches, with their athletes? Is that the hope that you see in the future of discipleship and sports ministry?
Oh, yeah, I definitely see that. I definitely see that happening already. I see a great yearning for it and people asking for, how do I do this? How do I disciple? We in the Midwest region, there's a task force right now all on discipleship with the FCA staff, and brought some people on the outside in to talk about how do we train our staff to train coaches to disciple their fellow coaches and athletes. So every staff would know how to do that. Like I said, sometimes we assume people know how to do it. But we're going to train every one of our staff in the Midwest region how to take a coach and help them begin to walk with Christ, disciples, so they become disciple makers themselves that are going to make disciple makers. So there's a huge emphasis on it right now. We're beginning to see it happen. There's a lot of coaches that are doing it already that we're working with, but there's also a lot of coaches that want to know how. So there's a great hope out there. And this whole idea about years ago, they used to talk about FCA was a presentation ministry. And I understand what they meant, but it was always a discipleship ministry, but never a great discipleship ministry. I mean, I've been involved in FCA, I can say that with honesty, since 1981, and as a student athlete in high school, and that in our school discipleship was taking place. I mean, there was some of the coaches involved in the FCA huddle. They were meeting with small groups of two or three and beginning to help them walk with Christ. And what does it look like on the field? What does it look like in your home? What does it look like in the classroom? They were already doing that, but it wasn't, I guess, coming from the top down. Now there's a whole new emphasis, and we're trying to lead the way by having a task force to say, okay, what are we going to train our staff in? What's specifically so they can help coaches do this? I'm very hopeful that this is beginning to happen. And that's always within the confines with the partnership of the local church. I think that's God's best design, is a local church. And if we can tell people that, you know, that FCA or Kingdom, you know, coaching or whatever it might be, Kingdom Sports, that this is your church, it's not the church. This is things that come alongside athletes in their arena to help them live out the principles we hope are happening in their church. But sometimes it's not happening. So we shouldn't be bashful. So, you know, they're not getting discipled in their local church, so we shouldn't do it either. Well, somebody needs to, right? That's ultimately the big C church has to happen too. And we're happy to be a part of that.
Well, Brian, thanks for being with us today. And Ron, I want to give you the final word on what we've heard today from Brian McKenzie.
Well, I'm really impacted by what Brian said about how he was moved as a young man by his coaches. And the guts to tell kids today who come from public schools, Christian schools, I don't care where, there's a watering hole of youngsters in the sports world. I was out on the field last night with about 40 kids in a middle school running around doing some things with them. What a golden opportunity to feed them the good news of Jesus Christ. And you know what? It doesn't seem like it makes sense to those kids at the time. And there are people watching. They're probably wondering, what in the world has that got to do with, you know, a jump cut or, you know, a pass route or something like that. But when you are able to connect biblically, as Brian was talking about, the game of football, even in its techniques, and as a coach, man, you ought to be, as a Christian coach, you ought to be an expert at two things, your sport and the Word of God. Period, end of story. And you've got to be able to connect the two. And when you actually are taking the Bible study from the meeting room onto the field, like Brian got, it's going to impact you. And there's a good chance that kid's going to give his life to those two things, sports and Christ. And so that's really what's impacted me, and I'm hoping that our audience takes that away with them, that they should be not just merely hearers of the Word, but doers of the Word, because it will have a lasting influence.
That's good. That's good. And I want to thank Brian again and Ron for both having these great baritone voices that make me sound like a little child. So thanks for that, guys. I appreciate you bringing me down to earth. Thanks again for joining us for today's podcast, and we look forward to seeing you next time right here on the Kingdom Sports Podcast.
To learn more about doing sports God's way, visit our website at kingdomsports.online. Please join us next time for another edition of the Kingdom Sports Podcast.